The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they make an excellent transition for our teachings. Also, the review of the goofiness, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep this in mind, the media does an excellent job of killing brain cells. You want to be really dumb? Just keep watching. Also, life lessons for our faith that we could actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? And the answer is, because just like you, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk hope with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here's one that you probably don't get asked very often. Very simple. What is your favorite birthday memory? Ooh, what is your favorite? See, now everybody's doing exactly what Jam and Jacob did. Taking your eyes, moving them to the skies, and going, what is that? I have to think about that. What is your favorite birthday memory? Now, being born and raised Jewish and then going on and getting a Baptist, Pentecostal, and charismatic ordination, plus getting the BA, getting the master's degree, and getting the doctorate, I can tell you that my favorite birthday was my bar mitzvah, because you get lots and lots and lots of presents and money at bar mitzvah. That's my favorite, just letting you know. All right, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is maybe you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. So if you're in San Diego right now, it's 11:34. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:34. If you're in San Diego, the high today, by the way, will be 80 degrees. If you're in Texas or you're in Dallas, the high today will be about 60 degrees. You know what? Both sunny, sunny, sunny. That's nice. Isn't that nice? So if you're at K-Bright, where it's bright, or you're KAAM, where it's double, double amen, doesn't matter. We want to hear from you. If you've got something you want to share, if you've got a great birthday memory, awesome. If you've got an answer to trivia when we offer it up, awesome. If you've got a prayer request, bring it. Let's bring it to the Lord. Let's petition. Let's seek. Let's ask. Let's be together in our faith, encouraging one another as we see the day getting closer. What day is that? The return of Jesus. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Maybe you've got a praise report. God has done something fabulous. And you know what? You know in your heart, I got to share this. I got to tell somebody. Tell it. Tell it. Share it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've got something you want to share, you got something you need for prayer for, you got something that's going on, if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, or even if you have a favorite birthday memory, all you got to do is reach out to us and give us a call. All you do is call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972 845-0770. You'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like talking to a person you can count on. And you can count on him to say hello and be a blessing to you when you talk to him on the phone.
Aww.
There you go. All right. How you doing, by the way?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am doing fantastic. We will do Jake's take a little later on, but we got a lot to cover in the meantime. Hey, if you don't want to call us because the phone is scary. Now, look, people, whether you're living in Texas or whether you're living in California, whether you're living in Dallas or whether you're living in San Diego, it's a phone, okay? You can do it. If you don't want to call us, though, you can text us. Still got to use a phone. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice now.
214-210-8483. This message will not repeat.
There you go. Also, if you want to reach us by email, I know you know that is email, electronic mail. Email, you just reach out david@hemustincrease.org. D-A-V-I-D, david@hemustincrease.org. He must increase comes from John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. HeMustIncrease.org. Going to send you up to the website, tell you a couple things about that. First, please be praying for the people that are connected to the various stations, the general managers, the people that coordinate things, the owners. We want to be keeping people in prayer because there's warfare all over the place, and these people need your coverage too. So everybody in San Diego, don't forget to be praying for the people that are connected to you there. For people that are in Dallas, don't forget to be praying for people that are connected to you there. We want to be praying for these people because they are helping bring the word of God and encouragement in the kingdom of God to different people just like you. Isn't that cool? All right, on the website that we're going to send you to, there are a bunch of different things, 4,500 hours of podcasts. Yeah, that's a lot. Also, prayer and praise reports that you can fill out. Also, some different information if you want to be an ambassador with us. We send you some business cards and brochures. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have any quota to make. It's just something to have on hand. If you think somebody else would be blessed by the show, awesome. We want to be a blessing, and we want you to be a blessing, and we want to bless one another and encourage one another. So all that, plus an opportunity to give. God loves a cheerful giver. We know that. But I want to give you this scripture in 2 Corinthians 8:3. I testify according to their ability and beyond their ability. They gave of their own accord. If the Lord puts it on your heart, do so. If not, enjoy the site. Check it out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
You know, Jacob, I just said that to my wife yesterday. Just that right there. Exactly.
What was her response?
Her response was, get out of the kitchen. Anyway, I'm just pointing that out to you right now. We are going right into the Word of God. We are at such a phenomenal portion. I will not be able to teach this at the level or the worth that it is, but there is so much great stuff here. Let me pick it up. If we can, just take a moment. We're in Matthew. We're in 14. And I do want to pick it up from verse 12. It's very important that we do that. Then we'll get into verse 13 and the feeding of the 5,000. But let's look at verse 12. It says this. This is after John the Baptist. He had his head severed because of Herodias' daughter's dance that unfortunately brought about the end of John the Baptist, because so pleasing was that dance, so pleasing, that Herod offered her anything up to half of his kingdom. Brilliant mom that the mom was, revenge was all she could see. Not a great mom, obviously. But I want you to pick up at verse 12 with me. John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they told Jesus what had happened. I want to pick it up right here in verse 13. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he went off by himself in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Here's what I want you to pick up on before we jump into the teaching of the 5,000. It's crucial to understand verses 12 and 13 in this text of chapter 14. The verse follows immediately after the death of John the Baptist, and Jesus was informed about what had transpired. Verse 13 states that upon hearing the news, Jesus retreated by himself in a boat to a remote area to be alone. This not only reveals the human side of Jesus, but also illustrates how the comings and goings of people in our lives can impact us. We've had remarkable individuals participate in this show, and their departure often leads to reflection and a touch of sorrow. But the mission must continue. So Jesus, after hearing about John the Baptist, takes the moment, brings himself before the Father, gathers it all together, takes it in, recognizes, and then back to ministry. And here's what happens. Verse 14, a vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy food for themselves." But Jesus replied, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." Oh, right there. "That isn't necessary. You feed them." Verse 17, "Impossible!" They exclaimed. "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." Oh, boy. This stuff is so good. All right, let's talk about this. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. This narrates the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. This teaching is rich and profound, with elements that are particularly just encouraging when we examine the story through the 4 different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's essential to understand this is the only creative miracle featured in all 4 Gospels, apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? God knows what he's doing. God knows how to write a book. He created the universe. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One miracle, creative miracle, is in all 4 Gospels. This one. The feeding of the 5,000. Wow. This miracle, which addresses the basic survival needs, is demonstrated to Jesus' followers for a reason. So let's just talk about the reality or the reason. First and foremost, as we're walking through this, we see Jesus. There's a crowd there. Look at Jesus is powerful. His reputation is growing. People are going wherever he's going. Jesus, moved by compassion, healed their sick. And these people, they're following Jesus because they believe he's the Messiah. In a response to their effort and commitment to draw closer to them, Jesus touches them. But Jesus' healing extends beyond physical ailments. He also touches people spiritually, psychologically, and emotionally. And moreover, he provides people's basic needs, the core needs of mankind. So Jesus has compassion on them. He's healing their sick. It's going quite the day. The evening's come around. Jesus is really ministering to these people. They're in a desolate place. So the disciples come and they go, dude. Okay, they probably didn't say dude. But they said, Jesus, you got to send these people away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. They weren't even in a place where there were In-N-Out burgers. They weren't even in a place that there were Whataburgers. There were no burgers. And so what was going on is like, you got to send them to the village, Jesus. They got to go buy food for themselves. They got to take care of themselves, Jesus. Don't you know that? Jesus replied, no. Could you just imagine? Hey, man, you got to send those people to the store. There's not enough ice or anything else. No, you take care of it. What? How am I supposed to do? What are you talking about? Do you know how many people are here? There's thousands of people. How are we supposed to? What? There's no what? You take care of it. And so what did they do? And this is the thing that I do. This is the thing that you do. Don't even. This is the thing that we all do. This is why it's in the book. What did they say to Jesus? We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We don't have enough. We don't have enough. We don't have enough. That's what we say to God all the time. We don't have enough. There's not enough. It's impossible. How's that going to happen? It just doesn't work. It's just, there's just not enough here. I want you to think about that. We don't have enough. You see, the 12 disciples weren't the only ones. You're not the only one. We all do this. And you know why we do this? Because we only see, and our faith only functions by what we're seeing. Okay, stop right there. Going to do a trivia question. Then we're going to come back to this teaching. This is some powerful stuff, so you don't want to miss it. What did Jesus do to reveal his power over nature to his disciples? Did he stop the sun? Did he cause an earthquake? Or did he calm the wind and the sea? Now, if you're in, right now, San Diego, you can use the phone. It won't hurt you. You can call 972-445-0770. If you're in Dallas, you can pick up the phone right now. It won't hurt you. 972-445-0770. If you're calling from Alberta, Canada, you can pick up the phone and dial 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. So no matter where you are in this country or no matter where you are in this planet, if you're listening live, you can reach out to us. You can either call, you can text, or you can send an email. Simple question, what did Jesus do to reveal his power over nature to his disciples? Did he, 1, stop the sun? 2, cause an earthquake? Or 3, calm the wind and the sea? That's the question that's laid out before you. Wow. What of those 3 things did Jesus do? Wow. All right. Now, going right back to this text, because this is, to me, lights out some of the best. I love this stuff. Let's just let you know. So look it. They're in this situation. Jesus is already contemplating that John has moved on. John is dancing on streets of gold. His life is great. Jesus, though, missing his companion in the kingdom, takes some time by himself, thinks about it, walks it through in his mind and heart before the Father, before the Holy Spirit. And then the crowd comes and gathers around him, and Jesus, when he gets out of the boat, looks at them, and he has compassion on them, and he heals their sick. It's hard to do things when you're not feeling good. That evening, the disciples come. They say, man, this place, we are way out there and way out their land. There's nothing around here. You guys got to, we got to send these people to the villages. They got to go and buy food for themselves, or there's going to be no solution. They're just going to be starving. Hey, I give them credit. At least they were thinking about other people for a minute. That was good. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line says Jesus said no. And they said, what do you mean no? All we have are 5 loaves of bread. All we have are, I mean, it's impossible. All we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How are you going to feed 5,000 people? We don't have enough. Jesus said what? Bring them here to me. Then he told people to sit down on the grass. I just want to take a moment here because I think this is brilliant. Every once in a while, while we try to tell God what to do and how to do it, we should listen to God where God says, sit down. Sometimes standing up and doing things is not the answer. Sometimes the answer is to sit down. And I like that because that's what I need to hear. Say, David, sit down. Okay. Like, you know, and you're trying to control everything. Sit down. Be quiet. Okay. He has him sit down on the grass. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and what does he do? Let's just talk about what he does. It says he takes the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looks up toward heaven. What does he do with what he has? He takes it, and he looks up to heaven. He's not looking to people. He's not looking to the microwave. He's not looking to a digital printer. He's looking up to heaven. And then he asks God's blessing, or he gives thanks for it. You know what that tells you? You take what you have. You don't say it's not enough. You take what you have. You lift it towards heaven, and you say, you are the source and the resource, God, and I want to thank you for what I have. Not complain about what I don't have. And that is a substantial difference for people. Jesus takes the little, lifts it towards heaven, gives thanks, and then he blesses it, and then he gives it away. In doing that, listen, the food miraculously multiplies. How does this not serve as a deep lesson for you and I? That we take what we have, not what we're lacking or complaining about. We look up to heaven, not elsewhere. We express gratitude for it and everything else, and we give it away. And in the return, the Lord will reward us with more than we initially started with. How do we not see this? Bring him to me, he told the people. Sit down on the grass. Told people, sit down. Everybody sit down. Takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looks up toward heaven, and asks God's blessing on the food. Breaks the loaves in pieces and gave some of the bread and fish to each disciple. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate so much, and they ate as much as they wanted, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. I don't know if you know this or not, but 12 baskets of leftovers is more than they started with. See, they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now they got 12 baskets of leftovers. Verse 21, about 5,000 men had eaten from those 5 loaves in addition to all the women and children. So some estimates say, well, it could be 18,000, could be 15,000, could be 12,000, could be 10,000. Do you really, that's what you're focusing on? Well, we know there was 5,000 men plus women and children. So even if you went 5,050, it's 5,000 people being fed by 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then when they're done, there's more than they started with. Because God takes what we have when we lift it to heaven, express our appreciation, don't complain and whine about it, but are thankful, and then God multiplies it. What we can't remember for whatever reason is, well, it can only be as much as my check has. It can only be as much as work does. Really? So God, who can create the universe, raise the dead, and stop the rotation of the universe at the request of one of his servants, can't take your little bit and make it more? He's the one that gave life and source and resource to everything. So instead of bringing it before the Lord and going, meh, 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 maybe we should bring it before the Lord, tell him thank you for what we have, and let him know how much we appreciate it, lifting it up to heaven, blessing it, and even being willing to part with it so that it shows that we're not so selfish we can't figure out that even giving what little we have, God can take and make it multiply. How cool is that? Right? Think about this. We often tell God it's not enough. I did that to Don today. I said, yeah, no, we don't have enough. I knew I was teaching this too. So we need more. And that's just me doing the exact same thing an hour and a half ago. Why? Because I'm an idiot. That's why. That's why we often do this. Instead of just saying thank you, lift it up to heaven, and giving it away. Oh, you're not the only one that goes through this. I go through this too. We all go through this. Okay, answer to the trivia question, by the way. What did Jesus do to reveal his power over nature to his disciples? He stopped the sun, caused the earthquake, or calmed the wind and the sea. He calmed the wind and the sea. That's what he did. All right, now if you're in San Diego, you can keep listening to K-Brite. That's fantastic. Or you can go to HeMustIncrease.org and check us out there for the rest of the show live. If you're in Dallas, hang out with us. We'll take a short break, then we'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to HeMustIncrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.